Blog Talk Radio.
The Smith Way Production Company present to some, introduce to others, our international radio personality, Dr. Lorenza D. Smith. Dr. Smith, make it do what it do.
Hey, hey, so glad to have you on here tonight. I'm trying to get my co-host to kind of tune in. We're going to be live on Facebook so we can discuss. I sent the invite, and I thank each and every one of you all for joining. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You, and we just focus on just plain old life issues. So as I work toward getting her as a part of this, and she can be visual so you can see that person, you know, we just want to be able to let you know that we're here to offer you a vessel to get the word out. We all have a lot of things going on. Our title for tonight's show is America Busting at the Seam, COVID-19 and Social Unrest. And we're going to focus. This is part three. We've been talking about it for a minute or two. So we're going to continue to talk about it because it's so important. That's a lot of things happening that we want to make sure we can share with you from this point of view, which is the Smith Way Production Company. We're so glad to have an opportunity just to kind of share some things that's going on with us and what we're trying to do. Just recently, as of last week, we added two more countries. We're international. We was being broadcast in 16 countries through Blog Talk Radio. Now we had additional two countries, and they are to the north of the United States, and that country is in other countries south of the United States. We have listeners now in Canada. We're so glad to have those individuals from Canada. Thank you so much, as well as the listeners from Mexico. So we're just striving to bring you something different, bring you where we're going to offer you some invitation to join us. Now, the call-in number to be a part of this show is 347-857-4192. You can actually just be a part of it by just listening to the show by calling in. But besides that, you can press 1, and we'll give you a chance to be a part of the chat line and let you share your thoughts with us in regards to your feelings about the topics we're going to talk about. Everybody had an awesome and pray that you had a great weekend, which was a 4th of July weekend. And here we are with another day, starting Monday off, and real discouraged by the things that occurred over the weekend. Yes, we're still dealing with COVID-19. The numbers are still spiking, and no one's happy to see that. However, we had some other things that occurred. I'm taking this time to allow my co-host to kind of work herself in, and I have several co-hosts. But to work herself in, so she'll be live on Facebook. That's just one of them. That's Lisa Levine. She'll be joining us, and she wants to be live on Facebook. But somehow we're not getting that connection like we're supposed to. And I'm looking for – I sent her a more or less a request, an invitation, and I hope she can see it. If not, she'll call into the call-in number again, 347-857-4192. Now, you also, if you want to go to the web link there just to hear the show, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. To tweet the show, you have @TalkingRealToYou, @LorenzaDSmith15, @Coach_L_Smith. And you can just tweet us and share your thoughts about the topics we're talking about tonight. Also, looking on the line, I have the second host is joining us, and she's by landline or cell phone, and she's joining us on our board. So I want to make sure I make her live right now so we can be able to introduce her in a minute, but I'm still waiting on Lisa to get it where I can introduce her by Facebook or either by landline or by the board. We're going to try all these things to make sure these things happen. Now, you asked the question, why should I take any time to check out Talking Real to You? As the co-host would say, we're going to take is real talk. It's real talk about taking back our community block by block. And we have to make sure we focus on that. Black Lives Matter, and we want to make sure we got to start taking back our community, taking back what we should have and desire to have. And we have to make sure we hold people accountable, and that's what this is all about. This, I'm talking about talking real to you. This is what it's all about, real talk, about all of the topics of economics, political, educational, financial, all of those things that we want to make sure we share our thoughts on through Talking Real to You. As I said, there's several co-hosts that join me as volunteer, and I do appreciate each and every one of us, each and every one of them. We have Dr. O out of Atlanta. She joined the surrounding Atlanta areas, Dr. Olivia E. Smith. We have Lauren B. Smith, the millennial, that joins us from time to time. She did call to let me know that she had knee surgery about a year and a half ago, and she's having some problems. It locked up on her, and she has a lot of pain. She's been taking some things, got it elevated, and just trying to deal with this. And she said, I just won't be able to do it tonight. So I appreciate she called him, Mr. Cameron Gilbert. That's a good friend of hers. He's a millennial. He's been a part of this show from time to time, and she said she was going to make sure she touched bases with Cameron so he can be a part of it. Now, Hale is from the state of South Carolina. So happy to have this person. And God has truly blessed us with someone with wisdom, with understanding, with compassion. And she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, none other than Sarah Scarlet H. Black. How you doing, Sarah?
I am doing fine tonight. How are you? It's storming here, so it's like every Monday night we just had a bunch of bad weather patterns passing our way. But we're
exactly.
So glad to join you tonight, and also for our listening audience, our participants. Glad to have them
with
us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Scarlett. It's good to have you. Always is good to have you. Lisa's trying to get in. She's trying to work it through technology. You know, last week you asked what we were doing, trying to work this out through Facebook, trying to get it where we can broadcast through Facebook, where she'll be visualized on Facebook, and she's still trying to send the invitation. So we're working on it, and we're going to, as soon as she either sign in by just call in, or she do it by Facebook, or I'll make sure I introduce her as well, and that's Lisa Levine. What we want to focus on tonight, and I see she just signed in. I think we couldn't get it where it was technology-based, meaning in regards to the cell phone and Facebook, but I do have her now live. I do have her live. Actually,
we'll get it.
That's right. She held from originally out of the state of Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, which caused her to feel a need to track down south to the southern part of Florida. And she's in Boca Raton, licensed clinical social worker. We're so glad to have her as a part of this show, and a, I'm going to say, master yoga instructor. So it's always good to have her here, none other than Miss Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you doing, Dr. Smith?
Doing okay, doing well. You know,
doing
well. A little sad about some things that I want to share each and every one of our listeners, as well as the co-host, because it's sort of like more or less some things that are happening over the weekend, and it touched home because as a faculty member at Alabama State University, one of our students who just graduated met with a dim fake last night, a 2016 bowling competitor on the bowling team. She's an alumnus of Alabama State, graduated in 2017. She's been with the police department, and she was killed last night by her domestic violence.
Oh,
and that's Patricia Pugley. She's a detective with the Montgomery Police Department. She was killed at home last night, and that's saddening for the university because our president sent out things, but it's saddening because we're continuing to want to take one another lives. as well as Lisa wearing a Crisis Started it as well. The 8-year-old boy killed in the Galleria Ball in Hoover, Alabama, outside of Birmingham, because of guys in conflict with each other deciding to just shoot in the open space in the mall was filled with people. And he was one of the persons killed.
And you had the young girl killed in Atlanta. And you had also a young girl killed in Chicago.
Yeah.
Sitting outside on her curb in the yard, stoop.
And those are individual, and Bronte Giles Jr. was a young man, and I have a tape from his grandmother speaking and sharing her thoughts on this today from the news. We also, I want to share some numbers that should be concerning to us. In Atlanta, that was 23 people shot. One young lady, young girl was killed. As Scott had mentioned, we had 17 killed and 70 hurt in Chicago over the weekend. We had 11 killed in New York over the weekend. We have 7 dead and 21 injured in Philadelphia. And the 11-year-old boy that was killed in Washington, D.C., he with his family member stopped by a relative house just to pick up a block and a charger for his phone, and people began to start shooting. And also, there are many others. I don't have everybody, but Ricky Smiley's daughter down in Houston was shot this weekend, and she's in surgery, and she was in surgery today, and I think that just actually all of your prayer. This is all happening on the weekend on top of COVID-19. On top of social unrest, we got to pull it together. We got to focus on what we need to focus on. And tonight we're going to talk about some topics that are going to allow us to do that. America busting at the seams, COVID-19, and social unrest. And the first thing I want to kind of start off with is kind of talking about COVID-19 and where signs and what kind of things are happening with our young people. How can we address something better with our young people? Because we may be adults, we can departmentalize stuff, but it's hard for them because they got so many things coming at them, so many social media coming at them saying so many things about COVID-19, talking about social unrest, and we got young people that's just not understanding exactly. So we want to look at maybe we can offer some ways that these young people can cope with what's going on. And I know we can easily say, I'm going to take this and turn the television off, but then they'll go to their cell phone. And it's just as much being on cell phone than it is on television. And they live with a cell phone in their hand. They go to sleep with a cell phone in their hand. And even if you turn it off in the nighttime, you still have it going on. But how can our young people cope with what's going on with social unrest, COVID-19, so much is the thing that happened on the weekend where we got a lot of crime, a lot of killings. How do we deal with that?
Shooting,
I just want your thoughts on that.
More protesting down here. Now they're protesting down here. They don't want to wear the masks. Did you guys hear that one?
Yeah.
Well, that's
pretty
much been all over the country.
And, yeah, I mean, they're up in West Palm. And I'm not sure if, because I'm listening to what I'm reading, I'm listening. Guys, I'm not a fan of social media or the news. But I'm not sure if what's happening is some people are using this to say my rights are being taken away. You know, are they taking this serious? I completely understand being in college, being in school, they're missing out on a lot of things, and I know it's hard to cope with, and I know a lot of people are cooped up in the houses together. I get it. It's creating a lot of problems. There were a lot of drinking over the weekend. There was a lot of shootings. There was a lot of violence. But, guys, this isn't the answers. And I think the message is we're not sending out the right messages, not us, but I think as a society. And we need, these kids don't have a lot of direction. Like, this is the me generation. I don't know if you, how you guys feel about that, but sense of entitlement, not going to happen to me. I mean, I read that horrible story about that Broadway actor that died. It broke my heart. I was crying. I mean, it's horrible the way this poor man died for 95 days. And I think, to me, wear the mask and social distance. So the sooner you guys do this, the sooner we can get back to whatever we're going to get back to.
Well,
I know it's
goes,
not easy.
I think it goes back to arrogance
and
that Americans have. Anyway, we're arrogant. We've always been the top the mm-hmm. top in the world, and until mm-hmm. here lately, we were. We're viewed as a laughing stock now, but there was a plane that flew into Italy. And they sent them back, you know, because you can't get into other countries, European countries from the United States because of the COVID-19. But the arrogance that you think that you can just do whatever you want to do, that you're entitled, that you're privileged. And unfortunately, we as a race of people are picking up some of those same tendencies from our white counterparts, and it just doesn't work that way in this day and time. We're going to have to we're getting mixed messages from the government, from the head of state, who is the president of the United States, and the lies that are told every time he comes out about this, because it's all a political thing. It's all about a re-election. And I don't know how many times I got to say this on this show or anywhere else. It's all about a re-election, being re-elected. And it's been like that for 4 years. We've been running this election for almost four years now. And everything has gone towards that. And as a result, when your leaders are not setting the tone for everyone else,
the governors,
then this is what the chaos is. You hear the governors are trying to pull together. Some of them who weren't before are seeing spikes in their states, and they're trying to pull together now. But what about the messages you've already sent that caused the spikes in the first place? So you can't talk out of both sides of the mouth and expect people to follow what we know in our gut is the right thing to do. And we know that the masks work. We know that masks and gloves are double protection too. But to just walk around as if you're totally macho or whatever does not make you a man, does not make you a woman, you know, when your health is at risk. And this stuff has mutated again. This virus has mutated again. This is not the same virus that came in from China. Has mutated into an even more dangerous strain of this virus. Because now it's infecting more rapidly and having more protein spikes. Those little spikes that come out from the virus that they show, those have increased now. So you have more of that. And then it's also affecting not only your respiratory, but it's also affecting your heart, your lungs, liver, and all the other parts of your body. Even if you recover, you may have some residual effect that you may never, ever be able to get rid of. So, Lisa, this stuff, you know, I don't know what else you can say, that people are going to have to use judgment. And if it's special people are telling you to wear a mask, then wear one when you're out in public.
Exactly.
And social distance.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm disappointed down here, guys, because we had lower numbers. And then everybody and their brother was traveling down here. And now they shut Miami down again. The mayor shut Miami down. But what's going to happen? They're going to come into West Palm. They're going to come into Fort Lauderdale. So we're going to wind up getting locked down. And I just think it's very selfish. And I agree with Scarlett. arrogance. It's a sense of selfishness. Think about your parents or your grandparents, guys. Think about when you're out there running around. Is it that big of a deal to wear a mask? Get fun with the masks. I have superhero masks. Come on. Put the mask on and social distance.
And go to a party, go to the beach,
Let me get the call in number. The call in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and I'll make sure I get you live and you'll be a part of this conversation. You can talk. You can offer your name and location you choose. Then let's make sure you offer your expertise and just whatever you have to say. That's what it's all about. It is the voice for you to share your thoughts on just plain old life issues. Now, as the conversation, as we was talking, we need to get a little focus on those things that can help our children who's dealing with this way beyond us as adults. Because, again, we can do some things to make decisions, but we need to make sure we can just offer some parents some things. There are some parents asking questions when people are seeing things and dealing with social unrest that puts them in a situation where right. they feel like are not worthy, or they that you know because of who they are. What can our young people do to kind of you know besides we can say easily stay off social media, but what are some coping skills that we allow them to use and to help? Just we want about five, then we're gonna move to another topic because we want to try to make sure we touch bases on those things in regards to COVID-19 as well as social unrest. So we just need to kind of get us five, like you said, for coming from us, we think to be suggested. You don't recommend it. Like I said, everything was even wearing a mask till we became required, it was recommended. And that's where we start off with our problem, recommended to put us in a situation.
Huge problem.
Instead of saying required, so we can start saving those lives. And what are some of the things, you know? First of all, I'm going to kind of say our young people, we have to sit down and talk with them. Talk, real talk. Start, as we say, have some real talk with our young people. Exactly what's going on here. And not allow the media to do that. Not to allow everybody else to do talking about what's going on. Talk to them and have an open mind, share, and listen to them as well, so that you can see where they're going. That's one way you can allow them. That's with anybody. We got to allow them to talk and share their thoughts, but you also have to listen, communicate for understanding. So I want to share that one and say that's what I would recommend parents to do when the young people are trying to cope with what's going on, is to be able to sit down and talk with your young people. I heard something today was really important about wearing masks in a school system here in Alabama. It's going to be mandatory that they wear a mask. Anybody hit that campus got to wear a mask. I've heard people say it won't work. But one of the ideals is if you put things in place and ask people to make an effort to do it, they can. But you can't be wishy-washy. And one of the things that principal superintendent said, it was a superintendent, he said, we're going to sit out and we're going to talk. And he asked parents to sit out. We're going to talk with the parents. And we asked parents to talk with their children because it's going to be something, adjustment they have to make. That's where we're missing this thing. We're not willing to communicate. We always have our own hidden agenda that we're using. We got to communicate, especially with our young people, because this is even a bigger challenge than we have. I would say, first of all, as I stated, it's about communicating, talking with the young people, letting them know how important the mask is. I'm talking about children.
Validating their feelings.
So young people, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, we say they can't wear. But you can when you're talking about saving a life. Just what both of y'all thoughts in regards to.
You know where I see an issue? I see an issue with the grown-ups because I see them coming on social media and just talking, yelling, or in my interpretation, being belligerent. And I'm thinking, is this how you communicate? And is this how you're teaching your children to communicate? One, you should always ask your children how they're feeling, see what their understanding is of situations. acknowledge, validate, make them feel heard. Don't blow them off. Don't ignore them. Don't tell them they're wrong. You should never, ever tell anybody that they're wrong. But I'm concerned at the role models that we have. And look at how many of us adults are behaving, and this is what we're teaching our kids. We need to teach them how to express themselves. We need to teach them coping skills. Go take a walk. I've said this a million times. Take a walk. Go sit with them. Turn the TV off. Take the phones. Turn the data off, whatever you guys need to do. But also, when you're arguing in front of your kids or you're arguing with your friends, or you're arguing on social media or being inappropriate, kids see this and they pick up on everything. So it's really, really important. And try to find solutions to what's going on right now. We know we're in the house. We know this is these poor kids. It's like every day I hear, Miss Lisa, are we going to go back to school? Do we get to hang out with our friends? Like, am I going to go to class in the fall? Like, it's so much uncertainty for them. And the things that I keep saying is, because you know I'm all about mindfulness, be in the moment. We go one day at a time. And that's my best advice. And just allow for a safe and open space. Because if we don't, I'll be surprised if there's not more people that are depressed and anxious that aren't admitting it or admitting that their children are struggling. And it's okay to struggle. It's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to feel sad or depressed right now. But please reach out. Therapists, we're here. We're available. Guys, have a small support group, whether it's family or friends. And if you don't know how to talk to your child, reach out. Reach out to a professional. We can guide you. We can help you. I don't have every single answer, but I do the best I can. But these things are very important. And also, try to do something a little bit fun. Try to make some kind of fun, whether you're swimming in your backyard or... You know, my niece the other day, they were doing all sorts of chalk drawings and hopscotch, and they were laughing and they were having fun, like what kids should be doing. So try to encourage this, encourage activity. You can do small group activity. Nobody's saying you need to go to summer camps or anything like that, or find a family friend where the two kids maybe can connect. Art is very therapeutic and fun. Create and design things. But I'm very concerned about the after effects on everybody, especially these children, because they are struggling. And they need you, mom and dad, grandma, whoever, family, whoever's at home. They need you. And if you're going to have a moment, I told you.
That we were encouraging people around the country that listen to the show to send in any creative ideas that they had. And I don't know if you sent that out or not, but that was something that even the kids could help you with at home, to send those in to us so we can share it with other families.
I'll post it, Scarlett.
Yeah, to share. And for our listening audience to send those creative things that they're doing, because we got some creative people in this country who are doing some really nice things, from the chalk drawings on the sidewalks the murals on buildings that are being allowed to put murals on buildings, and making masks that are very creative. There are a lot of things that can be done, and we've talked about it week after week after week after week on this show. But I'd like to hear from those around the country to see what kind of creative things that they are
doing
that we haven't even thrown out there or thought of. I've talked about cooking lessons or just cooking things that you normally wouldn't do. And also to get a small group or a support group. And you can do that through social media.
Yeah.
Parents talking to other parents, how they're coping, how they're working, how they're doing when they were doing schoolwork or whatever the case would be. Because in some of these cases, school is not going to reopen. It's some place where these spikes, especially in these red states where we are, it's going to be hard for parents, but then they're also already getting on TV here talking about the school ought to make options for those parents that want to send their kids back to school. And for those parents that don't have the means to do online stuff, well, y'all need to make options for them and all that kind of stuff. So see, it's something about us as Americans with this entitlement, this arrogance, like, you know, it's all about me and forget about everybody else. We have really got to work in this country to try to change this, change this picture, because it's about us and not just about you and your child or you and somebody else as an individual person.
And that's one of the things we need to focus on. It is all about, that's why I keep going back to block by block, what we talked about many times ago. We can change this thing we're asking if we go block by block, house by house, and stop relying on somebody else to do it. Because the message is not being heard coming from other people. We have to say the same thing about you need to wear your mask. You need to share the right, best information you have. And I think a lot of times we rely on somebody, just like we always have in our free, you know, opportunity to live in democracy, is that we allow other people to raise our children. We're talking about school, and here in Montgomery, they're talking about sending individuals back to school, and they said they had a roadmap, and the roadmap was nothing. It's no, you know, we understand, we under the circumstances, but we're going to still send them back in that situation. You got a choice, or you can take, yes, you can take the opportunity to do virtual learning, but let's be realistic. When you're threatening me on my job that if I can't come back to work, I can't take off and stay at home. We don't have enough parents that we really dig down and say we're going to do that to stay at home when you know you got to have that. We're battling with something right here. Let's keep it real. Some people just not going to be, and some people just not comfortable. That's proven the last 3 months, standing home with their children trying to educate their children.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me tell you some questions that came up today on social media that I saw about schools reopening. That well, I thought valid questions. Number one, one question was, okay, you have a kid in the classroom who has COVID-19, and then does the whole class, all the classmates got to be quarantined for 14 days? Parents are working, so where are kids going to quarantine for 14 days? If the teacher has COVID-19 and comes into the classroom, class still got to be quarantined for 14 days.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right, Doc.
Let me add that, Lisa. Let me add that. Just like you were saying about teachers, you know, that may contract this, that the true understanding I heard from a person serving in a capacity that we're just going to replace you with somebody else. That is the wrong attitude to have. One lie matter. And we got to push that from our homes, that we want the best for our children. We want the best for ourselves. We got to start. We can't wait on somebody else. Just because they come up with a roadmap and you're not happy with that roadmap as a parent sending a child to school, you got to say something about that. You just have to let them know this is not going to work. It's not, because you're talking about the temperature, as the superintendent here in this state said, should be checked at home with the parents and don't send the kids to school. Now, I retired from education after 30-plus years. I've had kids crawling in the door, just parents and sent them to school, crawling through the door. And both of y'all can share this with and say the same thing. And a lot of people I know that's educators that's on Facebook and online know this happened. You get kids that are sick. They, you all right, you got to run and know. They can't keep their head up. And they're not going to keep them at home. We got to be firm enough to say this is not going to work. This reopening,
well, first
not
of all,
gonna
they're
work.
Not going to have the ability in some homes to even take the temperature.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, when you go now, you know, they put the thing on your forehead and shoot the little thing or whatever, and you're fine.
The light, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My other guy's contention, what when kids are in the car and they have a fever, or the teacher's getting her temp before school, oh, you have a temp, you can't come in. So who's going to replace that teacher? Do you have a backup? Think about that. Some of the schools like aren't gonna let people in without a temp check before they enter the school. Like, I don't think they have a plan in place. I know today DeSantis said schools are opening. Okay, so what's your plan regardless of the school? And a lot of
schools do not have plans. Like Doc says, just like, you know, they give you a little piece of paper with a little roadmap on it, but no thought behind the map. You know, you can put anything on the paper, but you got to have some real follow through and some real thought into what you have on that paper and what the consequences is going to be if part one of that roadmap does not work, because in some schools, when you do not even have a school nurse hired on your staff.
A lot of schools don't have a school nurse.
And a lot of
you're
schools,
right.
Because of these budget cuts because of not being able to get the these medical expansions in a lot of these red states that these governors did not take out, you lost a lot of funding for a lot of things that could have been much different. In this country, you know, I'm in a state that did not take the expansion. You know, Doc, you're in a state that didn't take the expansion. I don't know about Florida, but they didn't take the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. So a lot of things that people can't even take kids to the doctor because they do not even have the money or the insurance to even do that. So,
right.
You know.
Well, here's my other question, guys.
We're in a real, real mess.
Here's my other question, and I have kids that they throw up because their anxiety is so bad. What are you going to do? Kids are scared to go back to school. There's going to be anxiety, panic, stomach aches, headaches. You know, what's going to happen? Are you going to have people on staff or the teachers who are not equipped? You're putting so much pressure on these poor teachers. Where's going to be the mental health professionals? And what's the preparation?
Scarlett just said that we don't even have a nurse. We have to have nurse splitting schools. I can say it. I know.
Yeah, they go school.
Oh, yeah.
I know they do it around here,
right.
Too.
Mine did that for several years. Split a nurse until we got into the brand new school.
Exactly. You split the nurse, and you're going to expect if the nurse, she or he is not here today, how are we going to deal with it? Your teacher's going to be having challenges trying to teach young people, but deal with the consequences of you deal with somebody that may be infected with COVID-19. We just got to keep this thing real and stop playing with it. If you don't have a roadmap, y'all demand a roadmap. Something that's going to help you. You don't even have PPE equipment in these schools. But you expect these teachers to come back, and you still want us to teach like a normal day. And I'm going to tell you, because I heard this from somebody that's serving in a high position, it's just going to be like normal. Then we're going to work our way through
it.
No, sir.
We are not going back to normal. This is not a normal time. This is going to be a new normal. But to anyone with that type of thinking, to think that we're going back to the way things were.
I know.
And they weren't good then.
And you know, guys, it's hard to explain.
That's the thinking. I can say where I am is that it's coming from the top saying that it's all right to go back and act like it's normal. It's not normal. So let's keep this thing real and stop playing with it. And I tell everybody, don't sit back and let people dictate and determine how your life's going to be. You got to stand up if you want to stand anything or fall for all the things that are good. They're just saying something. If they don't have a plan, demand they come up with a plan. You got talking about a superintendent, a state superintendent, saying that we're going to send it down for the LEAs, which is our local education agency, to come up with plans. You get paid $300,000.
They're doing
it's
the same
time for
thing
you
here.
To
my
say
God.
Something.
We
and
know,
something
did you hear what they did you hear what happened down here? They gave pay raises to new teachers. Well, what about the old teachers? What about the teachers that are already
there? The veterans.
The veterans. I mean, the amount, and then some schools, from what I heard, they have to put like virtual together. So if kids don't want to come to school, so what are the teachers supposed to do? Videotape themselves, or they, after they're done teaching, have to put a virtual program? I mean, I don't think this has been thought out. This has been months in the waiting. It's really not fair.
It's coming from the mixed messages from the Oval Office all the way down. And you can't continue to put these lies out because we are already have almost 130,000 people who have died from this virus.
Yeah.
And folks are going to have to listen. And if we had gone into, like some of these other countries, had done a lockdown.
The mask and the distancing.
And the mask and the distancing. And like New York has really flattened their curve and gotten it down to almost only eight deaths, you know, in the last couple of days. Any death is a bad, you know, is bad. But the fact that, you know, we are having these kind of numbers and we got a president of the United States who's trying to normalize it and think that, well, you know, it's all right. You know, it could have been worse. Well, guess what? It is getting worse.
And
tell
it
to somebody who has lost a loved one, a mother, father, a sister, a brother, a husband, and let them see they think it's normal.
That's accept the reality of it. Because when they tell you to wear a mask, social distance, you're going to have to take it upon yourself. We got to get down and be real. Now, let's come on with the people. Let's talk about these grassroots levels. You got to know that you got to social distance yourself. You know you got to do it if you want to live. Now, but if you think that because somebody else tell you you don't have to wear a mask, you choose not to wear, you deal with the consequence that comes along with not wearing the mask. And we're not saying it's going to hold and protect you, but it gives you some sense of defense. That's
right.
What we're talking about, COVID-19. We got to start using what we have and use the ability and the wisdom that we have. And the ones that don't talk with them, let's talk with them. Talk with our people. Share with her. I was talking to my daughter, and I was telling her, you make sure you wear your mask. I'm telling my kids that. If everybody's able to talk to a relative, let's get down to what we talk about on this show, block by block. I'm not even thinking about what's up on the top because they can do what they want to do up there. But I want to talk to who I have an influence with. Everybody has to do that. We got
well,
to
I mentioned the top thing. Because the top is also influencing people in this country.
I got to talk that down here now.
Yeah, people in this country, you know, they follow, you know, as you know, as when you're the head of anything, you've been the head of a school. I've been the head of a school 42 years, and I'm telling you right now, when the leader sets the tone, you know, you have to set the tone. And when the tone is not set, that's when chaos comes in.
And we just got to make sure the bottom line is we have to address this issue. And we're going to have to address it to the point where we're going to have to start doing it on our part. And I'm saying I'm just speaking for this part over here, not to share with people. We got to do that. We can't wait on anybody else.
Did I mention last night that we had two killings here?
Yes, I saw it. I didn't get to South Carolina, but I was going to
in a black club, and the club wasn't even supposed to be open. The clubs are not even open here, but they had a party in the club. 200 people.
Yeah,
where
and they
was
showed that on the news.
Greenville,
South Carolina.
Carolina.
And they showed it on the news. They showed
I mean,
that.
I know.
And
I hear they're
violent.
Still partying in Delray Beach. I'm hearing there's issues. Miami, you know, I don't know if it's people that live here or vacationing. Like, we hear a lot of people are coming down here. Please don't come down here. Please don't. Most where I live, and I've said this before, most everybody's wearing a mask, or they're not going to let you in. And they're distancing. Just, You know, and it's causing belligerence, and people are yelling at the store owners and fighting and causing physical altercation. Come on, guys.
My constitutional right. You know, your constitutional
right. My constitutional right. Okay.
You know,
don't we have constitutional
rights to live? Yeah, so we just got this.
It'll be your constitutional right when you're on a ventilator, God forbid. You know?
Exactly. All right, let's get with our call-in number. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. We want you to be a part of this. Press 1, and you can offer your point of view. We're sharing ours. And I know several people I see typing in things as well, talking about masks. They're typing it in as we slowly go through this process. A lot of people are joining us, and they want to know exactly, because particularly I know in my area, because they're concerned about their plan for reopening school. They're concerned about COVID-19. They're concerned about social unrest. They're concerned about a lot of things, and they're just looking, just trying to hear something come that they can focus on. And that's what we have to make sure that's what we're giving you a chance to share your thoughts. We're looking to hear from you. I'll just ask you for the name or location. You can give me your location and just offer your expertise. Let's kind of move our agenda because we want to make sure we get in a couple other topics. Since we was talking about face masks, and this has been the question, should states make face masks mandatory as well as social distance? Now, the biggest thing I've heard from people, well, how are you going to control that? How are you going to control social distancing? You know, we got to realize we're in the different times now. Some things we have to put our, we have to tighten this, we have to put our feet down on. And I think put your foot down on it. You got to make sure if you're in a crowd and you got to be addressed. But we're at heightened times now. I just want your thoughts on that, because Birmingham, Jefferson County, which is a place, has made it mandatory. Everybody up until the age of, anybody over the age of 8 have to wear a mask in any public space. So what's y'all thoughts on that? Because I know some places are doing it down in Florida. I don't know exactly in South Carolina how they're doing down there. They shut the beach down. When you shut the beach down, in outer activities, you either wear your mask or you don't participate in things. If you're not practicing social distance, you don't get a chance to do that. Are that's too harsh? What's your thoughts on that? Everybody let us know. You can call in and do that 347-857-4192. Type in on Facebook like they're doing. And I'm going to share some of those thoughts as we move forward. But actually, I'd like to know what the team feel about should all the states make face mask mandatory as well as social distance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
They're saying that.
And start putting fines out. Start fining. They were fining in the Keys, I think, $500. They just handed tickets out at one point. Absolutely. Wear your mask and social distance. I think a place in Fort Lauderdale got a $15,000 fine because they weren't distancing. People are coming in. You're going to get in trouble. It should be mandatory. And unfortunately, I live in a state where I don't know if that will happen, but we might have to take it upon ourselves. But the whole, we should have been on the same page from day one. As a country, we stand united. We're going to all wear masks. We're going to social distance. We're going to follow the rules. And that's it. But nobody stood up and said that, right?
People did stand up and say that, but it became a political issue between blue states and red states.
Yeah, exactly.
Democrats versus Republicans.
I mean, I felt
not a political situation. This virus doesn't care if you are a Republican or a Democrat, independent, black, white, Hispanic. It doesn't care. It is a virus. It doesn't have a feeling like that. Its work is to get into your body and to do havoc. That's
I just
what the
felt
virus
the president
does.
Should have
the virus
stood up,
is
am
already
I right?
mutated. And,
but don't
you know,
you feel
we as Americans, we're more concerned about our comfort and getting out, you know, doing our thing than it is about trying to protect the public health. That's why it's called public health, because it affects what you do affects the rest of the public.
Right.
Yes,
you know, and you're talking about control and whatnot. You know, you're going to wear the mask or not. You know, why does anybody need to control anybody to have to find them to do the right thing? These folks are filing lawsuits about wearing a mask.
Well, it's
spend up a whole lot of money to go to court to fight about why I got
to wear a mask
and my constitutional rights. Well, the rest of us got rights, too. That's why it's called We the People. You know,
can't,
we may be inconvenient,
it,
you know,
it.
But why
that's
in the world you
have
to, you know, your inconvenience
right,
got to kill other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what should have happened was if the president wasn't going to step in, then at least the governors, they're not showing alignment,
Mayor,
which I don't like either. You know, I'm all about teamwork and being in alignment. Get together and let's figure this out. Not one state, and Georgia opened this, and then that backfired, and, you know, that's what I felt from the get-go, is it should have been a united front, and this is what we're all doing, but that didn't happen, and now look where we're at. We're in a worse situation, and look at these other countries that, with the rules, they had rules and distancing and the masks, and it was very strict.
Exactly. And that's what we have to look at. Now, we have a caller. We have a caller, and we want to make sure we give them the opportunity to share their thoughts. The caller with the last four digits of 4644, can you share your location if you want to do your first name or not, and offer your expertise to Talking Real to you?
Well, my name is Mr. Pianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest, but the president's recommendations, but the president can't force people to wear a mask. That's up to the state,
we're not saying that.
Local community, and also an establishment if they want to put that on. But making people wear a mask, no. Now, those people that feel that they are subjective, well, they should wear the mask. Nobody's stopping them, but I'm against making people wear things they don't want to. That's like getting back to that insurance issue. But I just want to make that comment. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you from the Midwest.
Thank you.
Caller from the Midwest, thank you so much. And that is the, you know, the attitude of a lot of people. You just can't make me do it until we are, we like, I'll use Jefferson County in Alabama. And it is, you get a fine. If you're all right getting enough fines and dealing with it and willing to pay the money out, it's okay. But you have to have consequences. You have to have for your action. You're not going to say, we're violating your constitutional right, as Scarlett said, because I'm actually aware of that, but you're violating mine
right.
Because you're putting my life into a situation. If we're in a tug of war because everybody thinks that they can use the Constitution as a thing to say, I can't do this because it's against my constitutional right. No, it's your human rights you might feel like you can feel, but don't say it's your Constitution. Read it very well because you understand it is not specific on everything. And I ain't seen nowhere that said about, you know, because you've been asked to wear a mask for human life and safety, that it violates your Constitution, your rights. Come on now, people, let's keep it real. If you choose not to wear the mask, because every system I take where I am now in the city of Montgomery, I'm going to call it out. They got a mandatory mask law or ordinance, but it's for 10 or more people. Just remember, 10 or more people. So that means everybody under 10 don't have to have a mask. We got people playing with government to say it's mandatory, but as long as it's 10 or more people. Jefferson County has it where everybody, if you're in a public space, a public place. I mean, if you go in Walmart, that you mean you go in anything else. If you sit out in your car, you're all right. I ain't got no problem when you say that. But when you go into a public place where you can create problems with somebody else, you're going to have to wear your mask. Now, I've seen people turn around at the door, told me to go back outside the door. That means something is taken away from you. We have to do that. But we are planning with government because we sit up and say, like, here in Montgomery, the mayor, long as they ain't 10 or more people, if it's 10 or more people, you got to wear a mask. What about 8 people? Then you got to practice social distancing. what about eight people there together? Couldn't they, somebody contracted with eight people?
Yeah, of course.
It's just,
They contract with one person.
That's
you don't even need two. One person can be a transmitter
right.
of this virus.
Exactly.
You could have two people in a room.
Exactly, because you don't know. We just don't know. As Scarlett said earlier, it's mutating to something different. Started off as a respiratory thing. Now
Thank
it's becoming
you.
Where it's
Thank
in
you.
Your
it's
blood
something else,
system.
Now.
It's becoming a blood clot. Mm-hmm. It's causing heart attack. I have a friend of mine who was sharing
and
to me about their
shut
nurse.
Down.
Kidney shut down. And they said people come there with COVID-19, but they end up dying from a heart attack, massive heart attack. They end up dying for other things. So we got to quit saying that this is on a respiratory. It's something mutating that we don't understand. And we just got
Which
to say we don't
said.
Understand. We
right.
got to say that. Be forward and honest with people. We don't understand it. We don't know how to deal with it. This is something serious. One of the things I heard the governor put down, she did on a ticker tape, you know, fear. Everybody can't be feared of it. You know, only way when this kind, in our society, you have to be feared of something. You don't do things when you fear it. But when you, because we think we got the right to do it. And we got this democracy. We got a right to do it. If I want to die,
let me turn this around another way. Because, you know, I don't know if you all really heard what the caller said. I heard exactly what he said. Basically, that's the attitude we have now in the country that, you know, why should I be? Wearing
okay.
the mask, you know, if blah, 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 if this, if that, if this, if that, you know, this type of thing. So this is the problem we got now. It's always the if. The if.
Yep.
Personally, you wear the mask because it's responsible.
Right, and respectful.
You put your seatbelt on when you're driving your car. Because it's a seatbelt law in the country, and it's responsible. You do things.
Exactly.
You put smoke detectors in your house. So if your house catches on fire, you know it's responsible. Some things are just responsible things to do. This is one of them. I wear my mask. I'm going to continue to wear the mask. Because a
exactly.
vaccine is still far away. And then on top of that, you don't know if we don't know if the vaccine is going to even be effective.
Right. No, we don't.
So rather than take a chance on having to go another round, I'm going to take the precautions and be responsible for other people and for myself.
Right.
That's why I wear the mask.
Exactly. And that's the way it should be. That discussion should be done. And when we do it, I'll say it. I take with my family and with my individual, we're going to be responsible. It ain't about somebody saying you can't do anything. Just be responsible. And everybody
just prevent the spread of germs and the virus.
Talk to your people about how responsible you should be. And because you not only you're going to save, and I go back to education. We have our children coming to school. We got teachers that are put in vulnerable situations. And but you leave there, you have children as an instructor. You have parents, grandparents, and you could be carrying something you don't even know, and you don't
right.
know whether you contract. I'm not saying, but you don't know, and we have to. That's something we have to consider when we say being fearful because we just don't know who we around that may have it. And then I
right.
may pick it up, even though I'm not sick, and I take it home to my child that has asthma, to my
right.
parents that are in that risk category. That's responsibility. That's all Scarlett saying
right.
is responsible. You be responsible. Nobody needs to make you be responsible when you're talking about saving your life and your family member and possibly whoever your family member associate with. You got to remember, this is not just about just you sometimes. It's about
right.
everybody involved. And that's the only way we can do what we need to do. We can't do it no other way. That's where we are with this, 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts. We were talking about mandatory masks, and we appreciate the callers for calling in from the Midwest and in regards to that. Now, the other one's about social distancing. Here we go. Being responsible in social distancing. Can we come up with anything? Because I'm hearing so much, and I watch every level of news. I listen to it. I read the ticker tape. I do everything. And the first thing they said, the reason we have this spread because people was not practicing social distance even this past weekend. They sold some peaches. It was so many people, and everybody was on top of each other. It was to the point that they said, well, it's all right if you're a large gathering with a family. No, that ain't all right because you don't know where your family member's been. We have to keep that in mind when we go out and open a public space like that. We got to remember that, and it's all the way. So we can't force you. You got to say, I'm not going to be around that. I don't need to be here. We're not trying to take anything away from you. But this is a crisis, a health crisis now. It's no longer just simply, you know, we had 100 people. We're dealing with over 130-something thousand people dying from whatever's been mutated and creating death for them. How are we going to attack this? What are we going to do? Are we going to practice social distance or are we not? Are we just going to have the big parties, we're going to have a ball, and we're not going to worry about whether or not the person that came in, grabbed the door handle, and you didn't clean the door out, went to your pot and got your ribs out this past weekend, put the head on that. We're transmitting it, and that's right. How you get it right now. And you have to be for real about that. If you can say what you want, yeah, I'm ISO-ing. I'm quarantined. I don't need to be out. Some of us don't need to be out. Sad to say, we got a stay-at-home order, which was extended to July, the end of July, and we want you to stay at home. We want you to stay at home. People have been closed up. They're not going to stay at home, especially when they can go to every place around here and buy some, purchase some, and it's become essential. It's essential to go to McDonald's, get something to eat. It's essential to go. I'm just using that as an example for my reason or the reason to be out.
Well, so 200 folks went to the club last Sunday morning, so, you know.
And the
club is not even supposed to be open, you know.
When I saw that club, and like you said, it was supposed to be open. Shouldn't be even open, but it's open anyway because this person, I got to make some money, and I don't care what y'all say.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
exactly.
Now, it became a violent situation, and some people get killed because you stepped out of your responsibility, worried about trying to make a dollar. That's what everybody else is so concerned in these United States about making a dollar. That's all we worried about, making a dollar. And we #OneLifeMatter. Y'all keep that in mind. And that's my #OneLifeMatter. I ain't worried about everybody else. I'm worried about one at a time. You're going to say a group of people. One, I don't mean I don't worry about other people. I am concerned. But let's take a one life at a time. One life matter. One life matter. Please understand that. And don't overlook that. Because it's important. They said vaccine, not gonna be no vaccine. I don't care what anybody said. I don't even listen to people talking about it. Don't be one before they, it's not gonna be one. It takes 8 years to develop a vaccine, people.
That's right.
It ain't no rush to get it done. And even if it ain't no guarantee that vaccine gonna fight off this. We got to remember that. You need to listen to those health people when they say that, too. That vaccine is not going to fight off what we're dealing with because it's mutating.
It's
so
mutating, exactly.
So let's keep that in mind.
And
let's
the second wave hasn't even gotten here yet. So the second wave may be a different virus from what we got right now that's mutated.
Exactly. So we're dealing with a serious situation right here. You all, everybody on Facebook, take an opportunity to share this talk. Talk with not what we're saying, is what you feel about how you're going to be responsible. That's my challenge to everybody that's listening to us, watching us. That's your challenge. Let's talk
well,
about
if,
it. Let's
if we have been serious about this in a unified situation, like Lisa said, across the country, we could have had a flattened curve now, and things could start, could have been reopened according to the CDC's plans. But now we're spiking, and we're spiking mostly in these states that reopen so quickly, and it's going straight up.
Yes, ma'am.
Spike is going straight up. Which means it's
yep.
increasing every single day.
Yes, it is. It sure is. I know here in Montgomery, we became one of the hot spots in the country, and it's still spiking every day. And the first thing our health official come on the television, well, we just said people need to practice social distancing, but we just not moving toward it. We're not concerned that we're concerned a little bit that it's doing that. How can you? I'm sorry. It's all about the money, and when you get caught up in all the money, that means lives don't matter.
Well, money over lives.
Yeah, I'm saying you're all about the money when you sit up and say that. If you're the top public health official, you need not be sitting up there saying it's concerning me just a little bit. And, you know, a little bit, it need to concern you when one life is lost. But some people don't think it is because
some other countries like Canada is paying their citizens like $2,000
a month
for several months until things get settled down. We can't, you know, folks got $1,200, which was just really nothing when you've lost your job or being furloughed. And now they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to even vote to have the additional $600 for unemployment expansion. We bail out the top 1%. But the people who are actually doing the frontline working in the working public, it always seems to be such a battle to get anything to help American citizens live and take care of their families and pay their rent and their car notes and their transportation that they have to take to get them back and forth to work every day. Why does it have to be so hard here in America to take care of our people?
Yep,
why?
That's the question. The question is why.
Because, see, you wouldn't be worried about opening schools and the tweet that already come out. I'm looking at the tweets that are coming out. His tweet is, schools got to reopen in the fall. Well, that's easy to say. Parents got to have a job to go back to.
And you're talking about
a pediatrician. And if you're not going to let people go back to work, then why can't you subsidize them like these other countries are doing until things do get better?
Yep.
Dude, I don't understand why it has to be so hard here. We're the democracy, we're the free world. Why does it have to be so hard here for Americans?
That is something we allow these individuals that's fighting over who's going to be this, who's going to be that, and not worry about people's lives. They keep saying that we get back to work, our economy is going to turn around. It's not. It has suffered a major hit, and it's going to still be reeling until we are able to have individuals leave and have confidence they are willing to be back at work without dying. It's just the bottom line. And if we continue to do this and say that I've heard things say if they don't go to work, you know, they'll cut off their unemployment. You know, be realistic. You know, we're a welfare country. They said we always been taking care of people, you're going to continue. When you cut them off, you're going to take care of them another way. You're going to cut them off. I mean, you're going to take care of them with your EBT card. You're going to take care of with food stamps. You're going to take it with afford a house. You're going to, cause you are a welfare nation. And you're going to do that. So you can't force people and put them in a bad situation and ask them, you know, you make a choice. We shouldn't have to do that. It shouldn't do that. If anybody can stand up there and say that, it's all folks, again, on just economy. They're not focusing on lives. And they got to be called held accountable for what they're doing. Everybody has to be held accountable. I don't pass the buck. I want everybody to be held accountable, from the president all the way down to Congress. They up there, too, because it has a fight. They should already have that $1,200, whatever they'll give for second round. But they sit up there in
the well,
in
the bill, the bill is on the bill is on Mitch McConnell's desk, and he's stonewalling it.
Mm-hmm. Sitting up there because they want to make sure they get their part out of it, when it shouldn't even go through that point. When you know people need it, just go put your part. I'm just saying this could have been done in June. This could have been
well. First of all, it could have been a lot more. You know, by the time that first round of stimulus was passed, that and still some people really haven't gotten it yet, and some people were not even like immigrants in this country who have the documentation to be here to work or whatever, they weren't entitled. And somebody was married to an immigrant who's a United States citizen, was married to an immigrant, they couldn't get it. You know, what kind of junk is this? You know, that's what I'm saying. And the people that, the frontline workers, those who really couldn't stay at home when this pandemic really reached its worst peak, and folks are trying to get a handle on it because it was such a delay on our response. Why you can't take care of folks? Why is it, again, why is it so hard here in America for us to even wrap our heads and hands and hearts around our people?
I couldn't tell you, Scott. And the call-in number, we love to ask one to call in, just like we had to call a 347.
It's a rhetorical question. I know we don't have an answer, but the question needs to be out there.
4192. Let's make sure you give us a call. Press 1. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1 and share your thoughts, and maybe someone may have an answer. If not, we already know the answer, but you might have a different answer. Whatever it may be, we want you to share your thoughts, whether we look forward. We're going to make sure we identify your last four digits of sell our telephone number, then ask you offer your location, name if you choose to, and your expertise. It's many questions that we have to ask that we don't have answers to. We just can offer our point of view on things that are occurring, dealing with what we're experiencing and how we can move forward. Now, we got about 10 minutes, I'm going to say, a little bit more than that. We want to kind of move forward to, in regards to dealing with systemic racism. Will it change the business world, education? Will it change in the business world, in education? So, systemic racism, will it change in the business world? If it is, how would it change in the business world? How can it change in education?
No, that's a 6-hour show right there.
Six points because it's
the basis of everything that we're facing now. COVID, this virus has pulled the I think we talked about this before. Pulled the Band-Aid off the wound. And until we get some of these foundational things resolved, you're 401 years of systemic racism. And there are folks who still do not believe that we can see, you know, just by looking at the social media and the media, they still do not believe that systemic racism exists.
Exactly. A lot of them just don't. And again, I say, until we can actually change hearts, We're going to continue with the same questions. Like you said, it's a 6-hour, 2 or 3 day show. It's not can be done in the last these few minutes. But if you just got any thoughts about in education, we can think about the process of a lot of PWIs and how it's so hard for a lot of minorities to even get in PWIs unless they what token individuals, and that's the sense of it right there. Or we're using it as say, well, we're gonna meet our quota, and it's not opening the door. It's probably the best time for a lot of individuals to get into these a lot of PWIs due to not using the ACT scores results, SATs, those kind of things kind of open the door for. I mean, they're taking your academic performance from a high school and allow you to get in, and a lot of schools are doing that, and that's not going to erase it, but we got to address to see exactly why this is happening, and let's talk. Let's have a plan. We got to develop a plan how we're going to address it. I don't have all the answers.
Well, I think that we just start, you know, we divide up into parts like we've done the virus, and maybe this next show, you know, start with part one, address it, you know, systemic racism.
Yeah, and that's what we just want to kind of lay the foundation, because we have about 14 minutes, and I want you to think about it. Share your thoughts on it. How can it change in the business world? How can it change in education? What can happen? I just gave an example of it, that how some things that even though it was because of COVID-19 kind of opening the doors up for those individuals that choose to go when the ACT and the SAT kept them out of or some of the prep classes and they allowed them to enroll. But then we got to ask how are they enrolled? Are they enrolled as a provisional student? Are they enrolled as a full-fledged student? These are kind of questions we have to have to ask when we see this come about. If we want to try, everybody got to be talking and sharing thoughts and be honest when they're talking at these universities when we're going through things. And in the business world, it's going to be the same thing.
Well, first of all, we got to stop being one thing that when we do get into this particular segment, we got to stop being consumers and start being wealth builders. We've got to build wealth in the black community.
Awesome. Wealth builders. That's something
wealth
we want
builders.
You to think about.
You got in to business, own you something. Got to, you got to be able to hire and do things. And we got with the athletes and people making this mega money, we're going to have more wealthy blacks. And then if you are a wealthy black, don't forget from where you come from.
Oh, come on.
Don't buy the hype. Don't forget from where you come from, because sometimes we got a few who just don't understand that, yeah, you know, do you remember how you got here?
No, they don't. You know, we have a saying, and that saying I always, my dad shared with us, said, well, if you get to the top and you use a ladder, don't pull the ladder up with you so nobody else can get up to the top with you.
There you go.
Because you can be
the
only one. You know, you want to be the only one up there at the top. It's not going to help us attack this process in business, the racism in business. If once you get up there, we have to make sure we reach back and show other people how you can get up there. Because you can't say it based on your degrees, because a lot of minorities, a lot of minorities have attended college and have degrees as well, higher degrees, more than other segments of our country. But you can't get up there and say, okay, well, you don't have the experience. I'm never going to get the experience until you get my opportunity, because if you climb up the ladder and you pull the ladder up there where you are, then I'll never be able to get there. So we have to look on practicing on doing that and make sure we remember where we came from. We got to remember that we had to pull our bootstraps tight, real tight, so we can work hard to get up there and bring somebody along.
It's got to be wealth building. We got to stop being consumers. You don't need, you know, do you really need another dress or another this or another that? You know, save, and build your wealth.
Exactly. And that's what we have to focus on. we have to really focus on that. And I'll share something else, and I was sharing this with a group of individuals, and I wanted them to get out of the mindset of you just because you have a penny, you can turn it into a dollar can turn it into many, many, many other dollars. And I was talking about an investment company with these individuals I know who are in a good position. I thought financially that they would take a chance with, and the biggest thing, oh, I don't think that's a good idea right now. What you know, investment was to purchase property and use, in essence, it was homes and like Habitat Humanity, work on redoing them homes and make them available so people can have someone to live that will be in line. But I couldn't get them because they had a mindset thinking that, you know, you can't stand to give up $5,000 of your part, put it in that. I understand that, but as Scarlett has said, you have to save your money. You have to invest your money. Invest in yourself. Always, and we're getting into a business segment, I always tell them, pay yourself every month. If you're not
start
doing
your,
that, you're
you know,
not
I was in an investment club. Start your, you know, an investment club. Start small. Learn the market. Learn how
exactly.
It's done. Look at how these other folks are making this money and sustaining it.
Exactly.
I said
that's
make it and sustain it and maintain it.
The last part. Sustain it and maintain it. And we don't have to have the red bottoms all the time. We don't have to have the Michael Kors, Louis Vuitton. We don't have to have that all the time. Somebody probably tell you, speak in regards to what you're thinking, because some of them believe we have to have that, and that's why we run into the problem that we can't pay ourselves or can't. We're paying ourselves, but we're not. That's not seeing a benefit financially. Put some money away. Have an account. That's what we're talking about. That's how you can fight out what you're expecting somebody else to give you an opportunity at. That's how you fight it off, because you put yourself in a position to start a business or focus on investing in a business. You can use that as well to gain some steps and go up the ladder a little bit farther, a little bit farther. Each day you slide up a little further until you get to the top. But leave the ladder there so the next person can do the same thing. Or go back and show them how you did it. And not be crabs in the barrel. No, don't try to pull
there
somebody down. That's what it's all about. I tell you, we had an awesome show tonight, and you know, it's a little bit beyond, not beyond the time, but you know, earlier than we be talking. But I want to give a shout out to those individuals. Before I go, Lisa, you got anything you want to share in regards to that?
What we just talked about?
Yeah, what we was talking about in regards to how we can. Everybody can grow in business.
Everybody can grow. I mean, just to briefly share my own journey, but I always worked with options. And at one point when I decided it was my, I was working four jobs, guys. And I was putting a yoga program up free for about a year. And I was and I kept my agency job. So I had coming in, and the time was right, I had to break, you know, and I left the agency world, 20, which is my time, started my private business, I built this, built up the yoga program, also have a private business, just keep, just to have, just in case, just to be. But you can do anything that you set your mind to, set your goals, create. It's all about creation and connecting people, and to make it happen. I can make it happen. You know, our yoga program now, we're in 60 places. You know, I'm so proud of everything I've accomplished. You know that. My private business, I'm 45 clients right now. But I started off, I just work. And don't get discouraged. This thing will come to you, and I believe when you out there will come back to you. And I do some mentoring with young people about setting goals and stuff and making changes. Sometimes you need to make a life change, and here I come now.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. Have a plan. Have a plan.
Have a plan.
Well, I got to brag about my sorority sisters in Zeta because I am so proud of my young sisters in Zeta who are doing just that, building and opening their own businesses, their own companies. I know several who've opened their own daycare centers. I mean, just doing, you know, it's not easy. And they've had some snags along the way, but they've stayed, like Lisa said, they've stayed at it. They've kept going. And I'm so proud of them because the opportunities are there. And I think on the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, we were encouraging, you know, if you need to apply for these loans that the government is offering or whatever case may be, do the paperwork and go ahead and put your name in it too. Because these other folks are certainly doing that. Don't leave yourself out. Whatever comes across, whenever you have an opportunity or something is an opportunity that's presented to you to make money, to earn money, to get the loan and get whatever needs to get you up and running, do it. Because these other people do not shrink back from doing it.
And that's what we have to make sure we do. And that's awesome. And never give up. You're right, Scarlett. Y'all are so right. Y'all are so right. Never give up. However, let me give a shout out to those people that's joining, because y'all, we always want to know, because I'm operating two Facebook pages today, so I have individual may be different on both on those pages. So I have to give them a shout out. We got to give them a shout out. We have Carmen Butler is joining us. Thank you so much. She was viewing. We have Queen Ministress Lewis. That's Minister Shannon. Lewis, that'll be eventually coming back for the Minister Shannon show. That will be coming back. That's on the fourth Thursday of the month. She's been working toward getting back, and she's going to come back with a strong agenda focusing on just life issues and what's occurred. We have Tanya Harris. Thank you, Tanya. We have Sophie Winnett. Thank you so much. We also have Chandra Carr. Thank you, Chandra Carr. Thank you so much. We have Dana Bizer, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And if I missed anybody earlier, I just know Dana's always joining us. She's out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, real active with Zumba. She has a virtual Zumba class that's going on, and I want to make sure I give her a shout out. We have Jennifer Renee Adams. Thank you, Jennifer, so much for joining us as well. We have to say, co-host, she was on here watching, too. She signed on as Scarlett H. Black. We had to give her a shout-out. Member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and one of our beautiful co-hosts. Thank you so much, Scarlett.
Did I sign on?
Artavia, yeah, you still on. Artavia's with Williams, one of my former students. He's also a member of Phi Beta. Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Artavius Williams. Thank you, Artavius, for joining us. Marcus Cheney, he's our International Director of Education for Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. He's over in that, if I'm not mistaken, the Southwest now. He was the past, and still is, until we have election, the past Southern Regional Director before he left and moved over that area right there. We have Akaris Patterson, Carys Patterson. Thank you. He was one of my students. We have Dr. Erica Butler. Give a shout out. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. We have Rick Rawnax. Thank you so much. He's saying, hey, coach. Thank you so much, Rick, for joining us. Demetra Besser, a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, and sorority as well. Then we also have Cardi K. Kito, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Nicole Sharon Brown. We have a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Samantha Smith, Kim Sellers Bates, join us, Mario Telfario, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Marvin Lala Williams, I'm sorry, Smith, Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California, Renee Hawkins. Thank you, Renee, so much. Melba Flower, thank you. And last but not least, Shanita Arrington Mitchell. We're down to 30 seconds. Team has been awesome tonight. And I do appreciate you joining us. And our hashtag, and I'm just saying in regards to me, is One Life Matter. Communicate for understanding. And we do appreciate all our listeners from all over the world joining us. I got 10 seconds. They said we had an awesome time. And we look forward to get back with you next Monday. Have an awesome rest of the week. And, again, I love you. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome time. That end our live broadcast. We'll check you out next week. And we're going to make it do what it do. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
She's done.